You're listening to Country Life with Keith Fahey on Galway Bay FM.
Good evening, I'm Keith Fahey and welcome to this week's edition of Country Life. On the show this week, we're delighted with Darren Carty from the Irish Farmers Journal discussing sheep prices and the new ARF vaccine. We also have Brendan McCardle from the Irish Field, who's over in Cheltenham, and we spoke with him earlier today, and we got an update on what's happening over in the Cheltenham Festival there as well. So great to speak with Brendan. And we also have Dylan Newman with us this evening as well, who is a student doing agricultural science, and will give us a couple of the MART reports there. We're delighted to have Dylan with us this evening. We'll also have some farming news across the county. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can give us an email at countrylife@galwaybayfm.ie. So that's countrylife@galwaybayfm.ie. So looking at some MART reports from around the county, and looking at today's Irish Farming Independent, looking at some of the MART reports this week. The Ballin Road MART, last week's special show and sale of bullocks had an entry of over 200 with the trade. Very positive. Bullocks over €500 kilo on average. And averaged over €3 kilo, with the top call of €1,990 for two 578 kilo limousines or 345 a kilo. Bullocks under 500 kilo kilos averaged 295 a kilo, with 420 kilo Charlie topping out at 343 a kilo or over €1,440. Looking at the marts from Tuam there in relation to the sheep sale, with 700 sheep on offer in interest was keen, driving hoggets up by 6 to 10 euro a head, with colios 10 euro per head stronger. Heavier hoggets included 9 50 kilos at 192 kilos, 10 at 51.5 kilos selling for 190, and 2 at 69 kilos selling for €200. And Dylan, in a couple of moments, will give us the MART report there from the Tuam MART. Looking at the Athenry MART earlier as well, so a good trade there as well. Some prices there in relation to heifers. 465 kilo Aberdeen Angus is selling for €1,440. 465 kilo Angus is selling for €1,460. 565 kilo 3-year-old limousine selling for €1,400. 610 kilo limousine heifer selling for €1,600, and there was a 525 kilo limousine heifer selling for €1,270. Great prices received there for 3,690 kilo Aberdeen Angus 3-year old heifers there selling for €1,950, and there was also three other heifers at that came in together at 728 kilos, and they sold for €1,890. So there was a good trade there in Athenry as well. Looking at the Loch Ray MART report from last week, sheep saw a bigger sheep sale than last Thursday, with trade also increasing weekly. The €200 bracket was reached, and many hoggets making over the €190 bracket. Factory agents are very keen for heavy lambs, along with butcher agents online. There was the first spring lamb of the year out, weighing 48 kilos and made €190 or €396 a kilo. Hoggets at 27 kilos made €82, 39.5 kilos made €132, 40 kilos at €130, 48.5 kilos at €170. There's smaller numbers in the Cullio yard, with very little flesh joes on offer. Prices range from €75 to €130. The sheep sale is every Thursday evening at 10:30 or at 10:30 a.m. Weanlings that were a steady trade, a number of weanlings coming out with eager demand for them. Trade remains very strong, and all-round numbers are scarce, and that was also seen today in the Farming Independent, writes Martin Coughlin, with the rise in MART prices as numbers drop. But to continue on there with the Loch Ray MART, just some prices for you. Weaning heifers made up to €3.42 per kilo, and weaning bulls made up to €3.13. Heifers at a limousine heifer at 280 kilo sold for €9.10 or €3.25 a kilo. Another limousine heifer at 290 kilos sold for €9.10 or €3.14 a kilo. A blonde Aquitaine heifer at 350 kilos sold for €11.90. Looking at some of the bull prices there, a blonde Aquitaine bull weanling at 240 kilos selling for €7.50 or €3.13 a kilo. Two Herefords at 235 kilos selling for €7.10. Weanling sales continue on Friday evenings at 6 p.m. Cattle good numbers on offer, and last Saturday's cattle sale with the 98% clearance achieved. Less forward cattle on offer this week. Trade remains strong, with agents eager for stock. Cull cows average 215 to 273, with the top price of €2,100 received for a 770 kilo limousine cow 2014 born, 745 kilo limousine cow, also met 1600 there. And a 2018 born Aberdeen Angus cow at 790 kilos met 1800. So some great prices there as well. There was a stock bull sale there as well, where a couple of in calf heifers were sold and met great prices as well there. And looking at the bullock trade there in Loch Ray, there was some smashing stores on offer. Prices reached up to €3.36 per kilo. A 345 kilo limousine bullock made 1100 or 319 a kilo. Two limousines at 495 kilos sold for €1,600, and two limousines at 528 kilos made 1680. Two Anguses at 615 kilos made 1800 or 293 a kilo. So almost €3 a kilo achieved there for those Aberdeen Anguses. In the cattle sales every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and bookings can be got at 091 841 219. And Martin Coughlin in this week's Farming Independent writes, tide starting to turn as factories scramble to fill their order books. On Sunday, trade had tightened to the point that bullocks and heifers were up 5 to 10 cent per kilo at 5.10 for bullocks and 5.15 a kilo for heifers respectively. So that's just some interesting information there from across the county over in Wexford there, how prices have remained there as well. So ranges from 5.05 to 5.10 really for steers this week, and 5.10 to 5.15 for heifers there as well. So in around the 5.10 to 5.15 for steers and heifers. Trade seems tight as well. Very good prices from all market reports from what I could see there as well last week and indeed this week. Numbers do seem to be back, and good quality forward type cattle are making very good prices as well. And hoggets are fetching up to 8.50 per kilo on the ground after the latest lift there as well. And we're delighted to have Darren Carty on with us shortly, and he's going to give us a bit of an update there. What is exactly happening in the sheep trade? We're seeing phenomenal prices achieved there for sheep, and indeed yos with lambs at foot there, and the lighter type lambs that are starting to come out are indeed going for excellent money as well. So we have Dylan Newman with us. So Dylan is on work placement with us in Chagas in Athenry. Great to have you, Dylan. Maybe Dylan, you might just say maybe a couple of words on yourself. You're in college, you're doing what course are you doing?
It's in agriculture and environmental management between ATU and Montpellier.
Oh, very good. Yeah. And what year are you in?
Second year.
Very good. And you're from a farm yourself?
Yeah, from out near Clifton, village called Cleggan.
Oh, Cleggan. Very good. And how are you liking your time? So you're on a 12-week workplace?
12 weeks, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're covering all aspects of the Chagas there. You're out soil sampling yesterday?
Yeah, out yesterday all day, yeah.
Very good. So Dylan, you're going to give us the Mart report there from Tume yesterday as well. I was logged on to Tume Mart there for a few minutes yesterday, Dylan was looking at the report. So Dylan, maybe you might just give us a couple of prices there from maybe the Tume Mart report gone by yesterday.
Some sample cow prices included a 645 kilo limousine, made 1670 or 259 a kilo. A 745 kilo Charolais made 1890 or 254 a kilo. A 630 kilo limousine made 1893 euro a kilo. Some sample heifer prices include a 440 kilo Charolais made 1420 or €3.23 a kilo. A 540 kilo limousine made 1730 or €3.20 a kilo. And a 615 kilo Charolais made 1950 or €3.17 a kilo. Some sample bullock prices included 390 kilo limousine made 1400 or €3.59 a kilo. A 515 kilo Charolais made 1740 or €3.38 a kilo. And a 615 Charolais made 1800 or €2.93 a kilo. Some sample weanling heifer prices included a 300 kilo Shorthorn made 1100 or €3.67 a kilo. A 340 kilo Charolais made 1200 or €4.07 a kilo. And a 445 kilo limousine made 1670 euro or €3.75 euro a kilo. And then some sample weanling bull prices included 310 kilo limousine made 1210 euro or €3.90 a kilo. A 370 kilo limousine made 1370 euro or €3.70 a kilo. And a 380 kilo purebred limousine made 1520 euro €4 a kilo.
Very good. Good man, Dylan. At least I'll know who to ring now. If it's a thing, I'm sick any day or I can't turn up. So fair play to you, Dylan. Great to have you. And great to have you, Nat and Rye, as well. So doing your... So what maybe you might just tell us a little bit about the course. So for the first year, where were you based?
I was mainly in Montpellier with a day in Galway.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. And second year then?
I was 2 days in Galway and 3 days in Montpellier.
Okay, and you're in third year now?
Second year.
You're in second year now, and you're starting third year in September.
Yeah,
What's the plan for third year then? Whereabouts will you be for third year?
In Galway, based in ATU in Galway City.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then will that be the level 7 you've done then after the 3 years?
Level 7 after 3, yeah.
Okay, and do you plan to continue on to do the level 8, or what's your plan?
Yeah, I'm planning to keep going into the 4 years. Yeah.
Oh, very good. Fair play. So, brilliant. Thanks very much, Dylan. Great to have you there. Also looking at some of the headlines there in the journal, or in the Farming Independent this week. Flexibility on scheme application errors sought, writes Margaret Donnelly. The department in talks with EU over relaxing rules for minor mistakes. The Department of Agriculture is in discussions with the European Commission around the possibility of some flexibility in relation to accidental and minor errors in scheme applications. Ag consultants are being asked to provide possible solutions around the rejection of applications to schemes for accidental errors. Consultants at the ACA AGM raised issue with Agricultural Minister Charlie McConnog and the department officials surrounding strict deadlines and penalties in the event of applications entering obvious simple errors or missing necessary documents. So that would be a welcome change there, as you know, it can be very hard to get even the most minor of errors change there as well, so hopefully they can look favourably on that. Niall Herson writes, weak Angus calves struggle to secure breeds. Weak dairy calves are the new Frisians, warned mart managers, as some farmers have had to bring animals home after receiving no breeds. Waterford's Ross Cooperative Marts turned away 150 calves as his last sale, having reached its maximum capacity of 1,000 calves. Mart manager Richard Kerwin told the Farming Independent that that had never happened before. The smaller Angus calves are the new Frisian, he said. They had 500 to 700 calves on the previous week over, and over 30 calves had no bids and were taken back home, and they don't expect those calves to come out again. Buyers are wary as well when they see Frisian cross on the board as well. So just to bear in mind that as well, that if you are bringing calves out, it is obviously a lot more beneficial to have heavier type calves there, as they seem to be going a lot better than lighter type calves as well. And also there, the minister a couple of days ago announced that all acres tranche 2 farmers that applied will be accepted into the scheme. So that's some positive news there for farmers that have entered into the tranche 2 application as well, for the acres 2.
Country Life, brought to you by Ballinasloe, Gort's, Loughrea and Tuam Credit Unions. Personal lending, from small to big. For the special occasions in life, we have the finance to suit you. Check out your credit union today. Ballinasloe, Gort, Loughrea or Tuam Credit Unions. Credit unions in Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank. Terms and conditions apply.
So you're welcome back after the break. We're delighted to have Darren Carty with us there from the Irish Farmers Journal. Darren, thanks very much for your time, for coming on Country Life. We see sheep are a great trade at the minute, Darren. Firstly, maybe I suppose, what are hoggets going, and maybe how is the trade going so well at the moment?
Yeah, Keith, you hit the nail on the head. There's a nice bit of positive day on the sheep front. Record prices again this week. I've been talking about record prices for the last 2 or 3 weeks. We should put into context record prices for the time of year. But if we took, for example, just look at an Isle sale there on Monday. The previous week I was in it myself, and there was 3 pins that sold above €200 a head. This week there was between, I think, 20 and 30 pins that made over €200 a head. So like, real, I suppose, maybe prices that wouldn't have been seen before, particularly at this time of year. The factory trade is anywhere this week from 8.15 right up to 8.40 a kilo, and even higher being talked about. So it's a case of, I suppose, demand outstripping supply. We talked before about the supply-demand balance and how important that is. But if we look at, say, supplies in Ireland, look at supplies in Britain, and look at supplies right across Europe, everywhere at the moment, Keith, supplies are under pressure. And that's what's really driving it, is that there isn't enough sheep meat there in the system for what's wanted. Now, that has been the case over the last, I suppose, maybe month to 6 weeks, but what has really fueled that upward surge in the last 2 weeks in particular is the Islamic religious festival of Ramadan, which started on Sunday and which will run until the 9th or 10th of April. Now, the demand for that, Keith, is strongest at the start and strongest at the end. But for anyone that's looking at, say, what way the trade will go over the next few weeks, supplies are at such a low level that it's hard to see, say, prices falling back, given the tightness in supply, but more so with the fact that you have Easter demand kicking in the middle of this period. So there is, it bodes well for farmers that have sheep at the moment to sell. And a farmer said to me not too long ago, 2 weeks ago, he said, it's a pity I don't have, he said, sheep at the moment to sell. He said, but you know, he said, I had to sell a good lot of stores. And he said, given the storm and has got a nice boost, that maybe it'll bode well for the back end of the year too. So it's, to me, anytime you have a positivity like this, it does deliver some more optimism, and particularly after the last 2 years of high input costs, it has been well welcomed.
Yeah, that's very true, Darren. And we're probably seeing something somewhat similar as well in relation to the beef side of things there, looking at some of the mart reports there and logging on to a few of the marts there in the last couple of days, maybe in late last week. Forward kind of cattle there are a great trade, and we see maybe the steer price at around the 5.10 and heifers at around 5.15, or give or take a little bit there, Darren.
Exactly, and you made a very good point there, Keith, say, but I should have stressed on both the sheep side or on the cattle side that there is significant variation in the prices that factories are paying at the moment, be it for say sheep or cattle, and that's within factories and also across factories. And given that the mart trade is so vibrant, it does provide a good opportunity for farmers who are struggling to negotiate. Like I mentioned off the top target prices there over 200 euros. Look at that, that's for a percentage of the sales. It's probably for somewhere 15 to 20% of the sales, but there's a lot of hoggets selling between 190 and 200 for heavy hoggets as well. But it's very easy to get a barometer off, say, your local mart trade and into, say, make up what you're liable to get in the factory. And if you're not happy with what you think you are, the mart is providing a very good opportunity. But just to get back to the beef trade again, yeah, there has been a bounce in demand. Factories had their own way there for a period of about two and a half weeks where they were able to insert some pressure on the trade. There was more, say, cattle in the system. It just provided them with a bit of, I suppose, maybe negotiating power. They did edge prices back a bit, but in recent days or in the last week again, the numbers are going in the favour of farmers, and it's the, I suppose, the screw is starting to turn the other way again, and you're seeing prices strengthen there a small bit. As you say, there's a good trade for finished cattle, and that is feeding into a good trade in the mart for forward stores. And what's really, I suppose, maybe driving the mart thing at the moment is the numbers of quality continental cattle are very tight. Now, there's a couple of things feeding into that. Last year was a good year for live exports. The year before was a good year for live exports. And then if we take into account, unfortunately, the reduction in the suckler births, that if we take 2023 alone, there were 60,000 fewer suckler births. That was on top of, I could be slightly out on this figure, but I think we were down by about 30,000 suckler cows in 2022. So like if you take in the period of 2 years, there's 100,000 less, I've said, those good quality continental cattle in the country. And that is really being seen at the minute in the demand for those nice quality stock in mart sales. And that's, I suppose, the saying, riding tide lifts all boats is definitely coming into play, because all cattle types at the moment, whether it be traditional breeds or dairy cattle as well, they've also got a nice boost at the moment. We're seeing weanland prices for those very good quality weanlands anywhere from 330 a kilo up to 360, 370 a kilo, and the cream of the crop hitting €4 a kilo, which is, I'd say, probably record prices as well for the time of year. If you're looking at good quality stores, then they're anywhere from sort of 285 a kilo right up to 320 and 330 a kilo, and again, the cream of the crop hitting 350 and even 360 a kilo. So, like, there is plenty of vibrancy in that demand at the moment, and that's all in spite of, we're looking out the window and unfortunately having another very difficult week. There's, I take it that if you had an upturn in weather, there'd be much more life in the March trade. There'd probably be more numbers appearing. Sales have been relatively small, but I think if you got a turn in weather, that and given the optimism that's there, it would generate or underpin a very lively trade.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, as you said there, the fierce, harsh weather and the next couple of days don't look too hectic either, Darren. But I suppose, are farmers under pressure in relation to silage stocks at present? Or have you been talking to many farmers in the last couple of weeks maybe? Or are farmers running that bit tight now? Or, you know, I suppose a lot of farmers would have usually cattle maybe out, especially in certain parts of the country at this stage.
Yeah, in certain places. If we're to look or to break down the country as a whole, I think that along the Western Seaboard, there was fairly good reserves of silage got last year. Now, quality was questionable in places. There was maybe higher yields of maybe poor quality silage. There is some, say, reports of silage being a bit tighter. It's more as you move into, I suppose, maybe the dairy strongholds and the areas where there's very high intensity in livestock numbers, numbers are running a bit, or the supplies is running a bit tighter. I'd say if we were to continue on with this weather for another few weeks, well, then you might start to see it. But if you were to look at, even look at the journal classifieds, look on any of the advertising online platforms, there is a lot of silage there that's been offered for sale. I'd say probably the greater challenge at farm level probably at the moment is slurry and straw. There's definitely on the slurry side of things, there's a lot of challenges there. Farmers maybe getting a couple of tanks out just to bring down levels down, and badly needed a sort of dry spell on that side to start to get some supplies moving. And as you say, if you could get cattle out, it would lessen the pressure on that. And then moving on to the sheep side, probably one of the things that we do need, I suppose, maybe favourable weather at lambing, because straw supplies are very tight. A lot of farmers have just what they need. And the last thing we need is a challenging weather or heavy rainfall preventing turnout and all the challenges that leads to with disease and scours and that type of stuff.
Okay, very true there. Yeah, straw is a very tight, and a lot of farmers ringing us in relation to that too, and maybe looking at alternatives like wood chip and that. But what's happening, I suppose, in the Tullamore farm at the moment? When does lambing start with you there?
Yeah, lambing was meant to start or kick off last week. He's slowly ramping up. Slow to start with. Our manager there, Sean Diver, sent me a photo about a week or 10 days ago that he had a very eager ram, and he had 2 yos that lambed a week or 10 days early. I think many of our listeners, Keith, can relay that story of a ram going rogue for a day or two. Thankfully, it was only for a few hours it was in. So he had a couple of lambs early, but he's only starting to really to get into it now. Lambing kicked off really, I suppose, it's just the weekend there, and I'd say it'll probably be St. Patrick's weekend before he sort of hits or gets up to near peak lambing. Grass supplies are pretty good in Tullamore, but ground conditions are very challenging, and I think that's going to be probably the one that limits it. If we get later on in the week, if we can finally get, I suppose, maybe reduce rainfall levels in a few fine days together, It'll lead to a good easy lambing in Tullamore, a very challenging one, because we're tight enough in space for the 250 yos that are lambing. As most farmers will relate to, if you get the first few days fine and start to get yos and lambs moving, it takes the pressure off. But all in all, yos are in pretty good condition. They are on good quality silage. He's feeding the twins roughly about 0.8 of a kilo. Day, and he's feeding triplets just slightly over a kilo a day, and feeding singles, depending on condition, anywhere from about 0.3 to 0.5 or a kilo a meal. Wants to, I suppose, maybe keep them ticking along in that, to have an opportunity to cross faster and make sure they have enough milk. But hopefully all go well. Calfing is progressing nicely. He let out a few cows and calves at the weekend just to make some space in sheds. There's a few sheds that combine to, say, house cows and calf early, and then house some ewes and lambs, so he's sort of juggling space and that. Not ideal conditions for getting out, but let them out to sort of shelter paddocks in very small numbers.
Okay, very good. And also great to see All Acres 2 applicants being accepted in by the Minister last week.
Yeah, I think this caught an awful lot of people on surprise. The Minister had said on numerous occasions that he didn't expect there to be a budget there. He had reiterated and he was pushed on us on a lot of forms around us. There was only going to be places for 4,000 applicants. So it's good to see that, Keith, bring it up now between sort of 54,000 and 55,000 applicants. And it at least allows people to know where they're going this year. The big fear on that is that there was a big delay in say farmers that had applied, knowing whether they're in, whether they're out, what they can do or what they can't do. While that's good news, Keith, and welcomed, like Acres still isn't without its problems. We've seen there the interim payments come out and that was good, but the big challenge now, I suppose, or what's next in line is around the non-productive investment. So your listeners that will be in cooperation areas and that would have put in, say, NPI plans, we're starting to hear that there won't be maybe any, say, news on whether they're approved or not until late in the summer. Now, if that was the case, it would be a real, I suppose, maybe downfall of that, because the NPIs are there to try and maybe improve land and try and get scores improved, or lifted. Because a lot of the cooperation area payments are based on what way your land scores. So I think you'll probably start to see pressure building on that now, just for farmers to get more oversight of what way their land actually scored last year, and then to be able to get word on the NPIs to get working on that. And some advisors have been on to us, Keith, in the last week, just say asking us to point out to listeners or to our readers that it's very important. It's the same as a TAMS application. If you put in an application for a non-productive investment, that you don't complete that until you get approval, or else you won't get payment for it.
Yeah, and it's the same as you mentioned there with the TAMS. Like, we've an awful lot of farmers there that applied in June and July last year for many different things, meal bins, whatever else, and still maybe no approval yet. It's very hard for farmers, you know, to, I suppose, manage their time and to, you know, plan money in that, Darren, when, you know, you're waiting the guts of, you could say, 8 or 10 months to try and get approval.
Yeah, and of course, one step further than that, we have significant numbers of queries from farmers who have been lucky enough to get approval for maybe slurry storage facilities, but now they're in limbo because they're, say, wondering about the announcement in last year's budget where that there would be higher level of grant aid or a separate ceiling for slurry storage facilities, and we're yet to hear anything on that too. Like, I think there's a few areas in the department where definitely a tightening up, or a speeding up of approvals, or would benefit, as we mentioned, Acres, but also on TAMS. I think that if farmers could start to get information flowing, but not even just on the approvals, it's in the wider picture on what's happening on the few announcements from last year, because that is holding up jobs at the minute. And then we also have farmers that are contacting us regarding having, say, mobile investments. That's once you have your application in that you can proceed with that, but they're unable to make payment claims, and that's frustrating farmers too, to have money tied up in investment.
Darren Garty from the Irish Farmers Journal, thanks very much. There some great insights there into the different markets and tips and advice there for farmers, so thanks very much for coming on Country Life.
You're very welcome, Keith.
Country Life, brought to you by Ballinasloe, Gort, Loughrea and Tuam Credit Unions. Personal lending from small to big. For the special occasions in life, we have the finance to suit you. Check out your credit union today. Ballinasloe, Gort, Loughrea or Tuam Credit Unions. Credit unions in Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank. Terms and conditions apply.
Curtains and bedding and so much more. Harry Curry, see what's in store.
Galway Bay FM with Harry Curry. Spring is here. Put a spring in your step and fresh new looks in your home at Galway Retail Park, Headford Road, or online at harrycurry.com.
Harry Curry, see what's in store.
I don't believe this.
Oh, no!
What do you mean expired?
No way, I didn't even think.
Oh, for the love of...
Don't be that person.
Always check your passport in good time before you travel. If you need to renew, apply at ireland.ie/passport online. It's easy. It only takes 10 minutes and is the cheapest way to get your new passport. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
Farmers, IFI Topper is the leading brand of granular urea in Ireland for over 25 years and is now introducing three new urea products protected by LEMAS. IFI Topper Ensure, IFI Super Topper Ensure and IFI Topper Boost Ensure. For more information, contact your local IFI stockist. IFI, the brand you can trust.
Galway Bay FM, keeping you a beat ahead with Ireland's faster urgent care network. Urgent care within 60 minutes at the Leia Health and Wellbeing Clinic, Briar Hill. No appointment needed. Just walk in. Available to everyone aged 12 months and over.
Country Life, brought to you by Ballinasloe, Gort and Loughrea Credit Unions and St. Charlotte's Credit Union. Education, from enrolment to graduation. The finance to suit your needs. Check out Ballinasloe, Gort and Loughrea Credit Unions and St. Charlotte's Credit Union today. Credit unions in Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank. Terms and conditions apply.
So we're delighted to be joined from Brendan McCardle. You're over in Cheltenham, Brendan. Tell me, what's happening over there? The first race is just over.
Well, the Irish certainly got off to a great start. I think everybody thought Willie Mullins was going to have maybe a 1-2-3 in it, but it was Henry de Bromhead, Slade Steel, that battled with Mystical Power up the home straight here and give a really great win for Rachel Blackmore, owners Rob Corr, and of course Henry de Bromhead. When he just loves coming here to Cheltenham, and he certainly knows how to train a winner here as well. But a great start to win the Supreme Novices here, the first grade one of the afternoon. And of course, we think it's going to be a huge week for the Irish, like the domination of Willie Mullins, Gordon Elliott, Henry de Bromhead. I thought if you were a betting man, you probably would have betted that it was going to be William Mullins' win on the opener. But it's great to see that there is other trainers, and there is other trainers able to win as well. And certainly, because in recent times we've been listening to a lot of commentary, really, on the fact that the domination of Willie Mullins. But it still shows that whenever you come here to the biggest stage of them all, that it doesn't always go his way, but certainly has a long way to go. He probably will be the leading trainer here this week if everything does go according to plan for him.
Good. Is there a good atmosphere over there, Brendan?
Yeah, tickets are still available for today, actually, and for Wednesday and Thursday. Friday is sold out. Cheltenham have come for a bit of criticism this week, certainly in the run up to the festival. They've started charging children over the age of 5 full ticket price. Which sort of it doesn't go down well, and maybe they're trying to claw back a little bit of the revenue maybe that they've been losing about the crowds not coming in. But huge crowd of Irish here. Every other person you meet whenever you walk around the grounds, it's an Irish man or a woman, and they're certainly coming to support. And some people mightn't go to any other race meeting in the year, but they'll come to Cheltenham. They have a routine. They go for lunch. They have a nice breakfast. They stay with friends. They get here in a nice area. They come over on the boat. They fly over. Yesterday on the plane from Dublin, it was full. It was a special flight that was put on, and it was full. And the great and good of Irish racing was on that flight as well.
Very good. Where do you go? Fly to Birmingham, is it?
Fly into Birmingham. A lot of people fly to there or fly into Bristol. Some people fly to London and take the train down. There's a great network over here. But it's certainly like last night around Cheltenham Town, 131 is one of the places where people go. It was busy enough. The Queen, the usual clientele, was there. Brasserie Blanc, which is a sign that was actually quite full. Horse Racing Ireland had an owner's reception on last night. That got a huge attendance from potential owners here in the UK that possibly might want to invest in Irish racing. We're finding more and more that there is British owners coming to have horses and training in Ireland. So this is really a huge marketing tool or a huge marketing ploy by Horse Racing Ireland and the team there to try and get more owners to have their horses in Ireland. And of course that's good for the economy, and it's good for employment, and it's good for people who are suppliers in the sector as well.
And it just shows too, like, that you don't have to spend hundreds of thousands on horses too. We see Shar Canlan's horse running on Friday, Hewick. Tell us a little bit about that. He bought him for a phenomenal figure.
800 and something euros at a Gorge Bridge sale. Sure, it's a lifetime story, and it's a dream come true. The horse has been to America, won over there, won Kempton over the Christmas. If the ground goes too soft here, we'll probably see him that he mightn't actually run here on Friday. We've had a good bit of rain here this morning. Now, there was a bit of drying for the last 4 days, but really, I think the ground would need to dry significant and no more rain for Hewitt to take his chance on Friday.
Okay, and we also see on Friday as well, the National Hunt, I think it's Friday. They've named it in honour of Willie Mullins' mum, Maureen.
Yeah, that's the Willie Mullins National Hunt Chase. It's for amateur jockeys. There's only a small field going to post in that. There's seven of them in total. Lucinda Russell, Gordon Elliott, Sarah Brodstock, and Pauling. Willie Mullins has Embassy Gardens in there, but Emmett Mullins has Corbett's Cross, and that race is actually on this evening, the last race on the card here this evening, and rumour has it that Corbett's Cross has been working very, very well and could beat Willie Mullins' Embassy Gardens, but I think if it's a Mullins win, they'll be both happy.
Very good. And I suppose, what's the highlights then for the week, and how long maybe does it go on for Brendan?
On until Friday evening. There'll be a few 5 mile chasers that'll be able to last the whole week here, which I think some people try to pace themselves, but it certainly, like the main race today will be the Champion Hurdle, then the 2 mile Champion Chase tomorrow, then you've got the Stairs Hurdle, and then you've got the Gold Cup. So they're the big ones that'll be happening. And of course in the Stairs, they'll be hoping the Floating Porter there. Of course, Sean Murphy, a listener on the programme, will be able to return to winning ways here for Gavin Cromwell. Keith Donoghue will be taking the ride on that particular one. But listen, there's going to be so many top-class races between now and Friday evening. Will Willie Mullins be the leading trainer at the end of the festival? Sure, he's odds-on favourite for that. But I think if they can get a bit of a spread on them as well, it'll do no harm. But it certainly is a great week for the Irish, and just shows you that that the Irish are the total dominance here at Cheltenham. And it hasn't happened by chance. Like, a lot of hard work and effort has went into this. But like, whenever you have the likes of Willie Mullins, Gordon Elliott, Gavin Cromwell, and all those top trainers, Henry de Bromhead, then you can see why the English owners now are realising the potential that there is in Ireland, the prize money there is in Ireland as well, and they're now sending their horses to Ireland to be trained, and they're very much part of the Irish racing DNA at the moment, because you see them at all the race meetings as well. But they're hoping we'll have a good week here as well.
And history could be made there as well, Brendan, with Willie Mullins possibly hitting the 100 mark club for winning in Cheltenham.
Yeah, sure, listen, sure, he's a genius at what he does. He really is. The ammunition that he has as well, like, one horse better than the other. And it's not necessarily the favourite that you could see winning. It could be the second or the third string horse that actually could win here. Like, he's just a phenomenal trainer. And we're very, very lucky to be in an era of such greatness. Like, Aidan O'Brien does it on the flat. And Willie Mullins does it on the National Hunt.
So thanks very much there to Brendan McCardle from the Irish Field, who we caught up with earlier today, who was live from Cheltenham at the time. So great to hear a little bit of great news there from the first race anyways, to an Irish trainer. So thanks to Brendan there for joining us. So this week we also said we'd cover a little bit there on how farmers can get a herd number. So each county has a different DVO or district veterinary office. So in relation to the Galway office, there is in the Lakeshore Drive in Renmore, and their number is 091 507 600. There, so we had a couple of farmers just wondering there. Every year this time of year, farmers wonder maybe how they can get a herd number or how they can become a farmer or that. To get a herd number, you need to have a pin, a crush, and an isolating pen or an isolation shed for a sick animal there. And you must either own, lease, or rent land there. And depending on each DVO, there is a difference there in relation to what they look for. So you can do that in a number of ways. A registered lease or a rental agreement in some situations may work, or if you have ownership deeds of the land there, supplied with maps there, and you have to fill up a number of forms there. There's an ER1 form, and an ER1.1 form. So one of those is to become the herd owner and the other one is to become the herd keeper. There can be multiple names on the herd owner, but only one person can be responsible or be the herd keeper there as well. So ER1 and ER1.1 forms, if you want to look those up online, if anyone wishes to get a herd number there, and it would be advisable to do it very quick, as the deadline for the single payment this year, or the BIS, is the 15th of May there as well. So very important there that if farmers want to have a herd number, they'd want to be acting on it fairly soon. Also there, Martin O'Sullivan writes in the Irish Farming Independent today, a very interesting article on transferring the farm. Should you hold on to the house? This would sometimes, it can, where the house and the land is split, it is then not seen as a farmhouse. So very important in relation to agricultural relief and that as well. Transferring the farm farm often involves a lot of difficult decisions, particularly where there is no obvious successor. One of the biggest problems is the head-rigging conundrum of how to deal with the farmhouse, assuming it is your principal home. The considerations may involve, would it be a mistake to separate it from the farm? Could it create problems for the farm's successor in the future if it was owned by another family member? Is it fair that the son or daughter getting the farm should also be getting the dwelling? Will it cause a problem in the future if anyone needs to avail of the Fair Deal scheme? If it is not transferred with the land, will it cause a tax problem in the future? If the farm successor is not going to get it, how do you decide which family member is going to inherit it? There are generally three choices. Retain ownership of the house and keep your options open. Transfer the house with the land and retain a general right of residence. Transfer the house but retain an exclusive right of residency. There are pitfalls associated with all different three, but it all depends, writes Martin O'Sullivan. General right of residency. The primary consideration for most people is to ensure that their family home is theirs for as long as they want it to be. A general right of residency is a right to reside in the house, but it could also allow for shared residency. Unlike times past, it is very unusual nowadays for parents to live with the farm successor and or his or her family, writes Martin O'Sullivan. In most cases, the successor will have built their own house on the farm. In such cases, the parents will have no worries and will be content with retaining a general right of residency. The advice in all cases is to ensure that the general right of residency is in the place, as it does not afford a measure of the security that has no associated negatives. The taxation implications for a general right of residency are typically very favourable because the house retains its status as a farm property and qualifies for the same tax relief as the land. Retaining a general right of residency will have no impact on the Fair Deal means test as well. So interesting there in relation to the exclusive right of residency and retaining ownership as well. So looking at the farm dwelling 25% rule, an issue that frequently crops up where a farm is being leased post-transfer is the 25% rule relating to the farmhouse where the transferee does not live in it. Revenue will not allow agricultural relief to apply to the house if it comprises of 25% or more of the combined land and dwelling value. So if the farm was valued at 1 million, the house was 350,000, the dwelling would not qualify for the agricultural relief, and the transferee, being a son or daughter, would face a tax bill of 37,950. And if the dwelling had been valued at 300,000, it would have qualified for the relief. So interesting there from Martin O'Sullivan, and he is also the author of the ACA Farmer's Handbook and is a farm succession consultant there with IFAC. So more information can be got at www.ifac.ie. So that's it this week from Country Life. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'd like to thank Darren Carty there from the Irish Farmers Journal. We'd like to thank Brendan McCardle, who was live earlier today when we were talking to him on the phone, from Cheltenham. And we'd also like to thank Dylan as well, Dylan Newman, for giving us the Chew Mart report. So if anyone would like to contact us on the show, you can email us at countrylife@galwaybayfm.ie and we'll get back to you.